Well, this is Dr. Stanton back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our colleagues, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, that's 464-8295, but please hold your calls. We have with us on the line Mac Dominic, and we're going to be talking about a new DVD that he has put out, a fascinating appraisal of what is happening to Christianity. He, of course, works with David Bay at Cutting Edge Ministries. I've been doing a lot of research this last few days up on the Internet, looking into the occult, the background of the occult organizations. So many of the organizations are really truly Luciferian and satanic organizations. And as I get onto Google and I begin researching these things, you'd be amazed at how often why they www.cuttingedge.org comes up. In other words, the organization Mac works with. In fact, you do a lot of research. Aren't you one of the major researchers for Cutting Edge?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I've been working with Cutting Edge now since 1997, and I have been personally researching New Age, New World Order, pagan religions, pagan history, and occult religions since 1990.
Well, you're doing a great job, and of course Cutting Edge is doing a great job of reaching a lot of people on the Internet. I'm just amazed already how effective you are. But we're going to be talking now about something that is sweeping Christendom, and we're told in the latter days there will be a great apostasy, there will be a great falling away, and suddenly there is something that is sweeping the Protestant Church, even getting into the Catholic Church, and really not only in this country, but all throughout the world, and it's called the purpose-driven life. And who can be against having a purpose, God's purpose in our life? Who can be against, of course, reaching more people for Jesus Christ and bringing them into the kingdom? But as Mac points out so well in his DVD, there's a great deal of difference between perception and reality. So with that as a background, why don't you pick up the story?
Okay, I'll be glad to do that. Basically, let me start by saying that this is really nothing new, and that there's a lot of history that goes with it. This didn't just happen overnight and out of thin air. The contributing factors for what is happening with the purpose-driven church, as seen in the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and also Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Church, has been coming a long time. It's been spearheaded by Fuller Theological Seminary primarily, and we see it happening through all the different movements that came through the evangelical church and the fundamental church, and now it's just coming to fruition now in the form of the purpose-driven church. Now, you know, what we really have here, and what Rick Warren announced here just last month publicly at his gathering at the baseball stadium, I believe it was in Anaheim, when they had their 25th anniversary of Saddleback Community Church, he announced that there is now a revolution, and the members of his church are revolutionaries, and they're going to revolutionize the church. And what we have to realize is that when you have a revolution, you're talking about drastic change taking place.
And what we really are talking about is the transformation of Christianity, transforming its message, transforming its music. And isn't this going to be wonderful, or is it? We're going to be back in just a moment here with Mac Dominic, and we're going to be talking about the purpose-driven life. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But we today have with us as a special guest Mac Dominic, who's a researcher for cuttingedge.org. And if you haven't been up on their website, that's cuttingedge.org, you'll find some fascinating material there. We are involved in a spiritual battle for the spirits of men, and most people really don't understand the battle is even going on. But, of course, if you were Lucifer, how would you attack the church today? Would you attack it from without? Well, of course you'd attack it from without. Why, you'd take God out of our schools and prayer out of our schools, and you would demonize Christians, and you'd ridicule Christians, and you'd use the television and the movies to belittle Christians. And if anybody came up with a good movie, maybe depicting the life of Christ, why, of course, you'd ridicule that, and you'd come up with something like Jesus Christ Superstar, but even more effective if you wanted to destroy Christianity. You'd destroy it from within, and you'd introduce ideas, and many good people would embrace those ideas. And you never know, of course, who really is good and who's not, but the idea that you can actually be successful in Christianity, that you can have a tremendous increase in church membership, you can bring a lot of unsaved people into the church and give them a, well, not necessarily the traditional gospel because they don't want to hear it, but they can give them a modified gospel and lead them into the kingdom, or you can give them a different type, you can give them secular music to draw them into the church, and we won't sing the old hymns because they don't want to hear that. They want to hear something that, well, it might come out of the Beach Boys or Marilyn Manson or Ozzy Osbourne. That's what they really want. So we got to give people what they want. Well, Mac Dominic doesn't think that's the right approach. Mac, you pick up this story, and I'll be quiet.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The fact of the matter is Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, proclaimed that he believed that if you are using methods in church that no longer work, you're not doing the will of God. He also proclaims that because all of this is so successful, it is evidence that God is blessing the movement. But, you know, what we really have to do is back up, and we have to compare and analyze everything based on the teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God gives us the principles of how church is to be done, primarily in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. We see in 1 Corinthians, the Bible tells us that it's by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved.
Hold that thought there for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Mac Dominic, and he's basically saying that you don't necessarily want to entertain people when they come to church. You don't want, of course, to tickle their ears. You don't want to give them things they're going to laugh at and identify with. You want to give them the Word of God. Well, isn't that sort of an old-fashioned idea that it is going to be the Word of God that is going to bring people to salvation? I mean, that certainly doesn't go over very well in today's church, does it?
Well, that's exactly the whole thing here. As a matter of fact, we have changed the terminology. The new paradigm church, as we call it, no longer identifies saved people and lost people, but identifies churched and unchurched. And what the goal is to bring the unchurched into the church. You bring them in with entertainment. You bring them in with all the modern cultural things that appeal to them. And the theory behind that is, okay, we give them the gospel, and they're saved. Well, that all sounds very, very good, but the problem with that is, in order to keep them coming back Sunday after Sunday, is you have to keep giving them more of the modern culture, and you have to diminish the doctrines of the Word of God. You can't confront them with their sin. You can't confront them with the Word of God. You can't let the Holy Spirit do the teaching, but you have to market the message. And, you know, the Bible tells us, as we said just a minute ago, if preaching is foolishness, how do you market something that's foolishness? You have to change the wrapper. You have to change the presentation. And when you do that, you are diminishing the power of the Holy Spirit to work in lives. I think so many times in these days, and a lot of good churches even are guilty of this. It seems that we have to come up with methods or programs or whatever to reach people when we often forget that it's the Word of God that convicts men of sin. It's the Word of God through which God speaks. It's the Word of God by which the Holy Spirit leads men to himself. It's not by anything that we really do. And so the whole concept of how this this new church is approached is based on fallacy.
But isn't it successful? I mean, look and see at the tremendous growth of some of these churches. And can't we measure success by growth and by, you know, its impact and by finances and the new buildings and all those things?
Well, I guess if we did, we'd have to say the Roman Catholic Church was the most blessed of God organization on the face of the earth, wouldn't we?
Well, not now. They're having real problems.
And the second most blessed of God organization is the Mormon Church. And if you look at those two organizations and evaluate their doctrinal positions are not even close to what the Word of God teaches. So you cannot take a pragmatic view of the Word of God to measure success. I mean, how many men have toiled faithfully for years and years, both in foreign mission fields and in our nation here with very small ministries. They've seen very few people saved. Can you say they were unsuccessful? No, the measure of success is not growth. The measure of success is not numbers. That's the job of the Holy Spirit of God. The measure of success is that a man is faithful to the Word of God. And that's what we're called, that's what all pastors are called to be. They're called to be faithful to the Word of God, to preach the Word, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort using all long-suffering and doctrine. But the new church can't really get too tied up in doctrine because doctrine divides because truth divides. So therefore, they're concerned that it will keep their churches from growing. As a matter of fact, even Saddleback Community Church, which is pastored by Dr. Warren, is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, but it doesn't use Baptist in the name of the church, because that is a divisive term, and people may be turned off by Baptist, so they use simply the title of the church is Saddleback Community Church. And we have pastors and churches all over the nation and all over the world now that are mimicking these methods, and when you start looking at the methods a little bit closer, you get very concerned as the terminology they use and the direction they're taking with these things. It's quite incredible, actually.
Well, isn't it really sort of a management technique? In other words, the sort of thing you get taught, here's how to be successful in selling shoes, in selling soap, selling Christianity?
That's one of the things that alerted me to all of this. I have a marketing degree from Bob Jones University. I am president of a sales and marketing company, and I got involved in looking into this situation back 5 or so years ago when the church that I was a member of started doing these things. And we had a meeting one evening for the leaders of the church. I was an adult Sunday school teacher. And the pastor started explaining what we were going to be doing. And I recognized the techniques from not only my marketing classes that I took in college, but the methods that I use in my secular business. And I thought at the time, well, maybe this isn't so bad. Maybe we should use these techniques to bring people to Christ, but when you stop looking at bringing people to Christ and start growing the church and using business management principles and the methods of men instead of the power of the Holy Spirit, then you're in trouble.
Well, I think that we can look and see what are happening to our society today. And as all of these things that we're doing really transforming our society for the better or for the worse?
Well, that's another interesting point, because the Barna Survey Organization did a survey here back in 2003, and they did a survey on an individual's worldview. I don't know if you folks have talked about this on your show, Dr. Stan, or not.
No, you go ahead, because I've seen your DVD, and I think it's excellent. We'll talk more about that later.
Well,
some of these things up.
Okay. Well, this survey that the Barna group did. Asked 5 or 6 questions that determine whether an individual had a biblical worldview, and those were questions like, do you believe there is such a thing as absolute truth? Does Satan truly exist? Can an individual be saved by their works? Did God, through His omnipotent power, create the universe? And there were a few more, but basically they determined by how individuals answered these questions whether an individual had a biblical worldview. And the real alarming statistic from this survey is that only 9% of people that claim to be born again. Now, I'm not talking about people that just are walking the street that are secular or humanist or whatever other thing that people believe or don't believe in today, but only 9% of people that claim to be born again had a biblical worldview. Now, if that's the case, something is wrong. And someone who is building these big mega churches with all these thousands and thousands of people, we've got a problem because so few of them in there have a biblical worldview. And I am convinced that if you do not believe in absolute truth, I have a real problem really believing that you're truly saved. Because if you do not believe the Bible is the absolute truth of the Word of God, and we have absolute truth in life, then that's a real problem with equating that with someone that's born again if you don't believe that.
And I think it's really so interesting, you know, that we've had a recent phenomenon. It was, of course, Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code, and the purpose,
right.
The real purpose behind this was to get you to begin to question the validity of the scriptures. They were all picked by Constantine. He had a council in Nicaea, and that's when they picked all the books of the Bible, about 300 or so A.D. And of course, most Christians don't know enough about the origins of the Holy Scriptures to be able to challenge that the whole purpose of Dan Brown's fascinating novel, exciting novel, was to undermine the Christian faith. And they did a pretty good job of it, because most Christians aren't grounded enough to be able to, they don't even know the history of the church and where the scriptures came from. And they're certainly not being taught that in churches that really aren't emphasizing sound gospel and sound doctrine.
Well, that's exactly right. And you talk about things like the Da Vinci Code. I was sitting next to a lady on an airplane here a few months ago, and she was reading a book, and I believe it was a book entitled The Lost Books of the Bible. And I looked at her and I said, "That's an interesting book you've got there." She says, "Yes, I read The Da Vinci Code and realized I wanted to know a whole lot more about these books of the Bible that I've never read before." And I proceeded to explain to her that The Da Vinci Code was fiction, that the premises that were put forth in the Da Vinci Code are not aligning with Christianity, and there are a lot of problems with it. But instead of turning her toward the Word of God for the answers, it turned her toward Gnostic Gospels, which include the Kabbalist type of Gnostic beliefs, which basically we would look at as witchcraft. And it's really a shame, because it's happening over and over with people that are reading these books. And of course, the Da Vinci Code is going to come out as a popular movie. We're going to put out a DVD here in the near future on the Da Vinci Code, and hopefully have it out about the time the movie comes out, because you have to understand the paths that have been taken in this book as you have these belief systems that do not align with the Word of God, that are false pagan belief systems, and as you said, the Da Vinci Code was quite an exciting, thrilling novel. But people have to understand, it is a novel, it is fiction, and the bottom line is, it really doesn't matter what Leonardo da Vinci thought. He was not a man of God.
Yeah, and of course, I think even more significant is the fact that with a new church growth movement, they have 15 different Bible interpretations. One of them, of course, most stressed, is something called the Message.
Right.
Which, of course, has even less to do with the Word of God. And so what they've done is intentionally come up with a vehicle of confusing the people. Because you've got 15 different translations of the Bible, and they're all being stressed, which one's the Word of God? And why are there so many different ones, and why would they stress certainly the message of all of those translations? Which even a man who wrote them admits should never be interpreted as the Word of God. We'll be back in just a moment right here at Radio Liberty.
The Anglo-American establishment It gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who are actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like the corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items. Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory's going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mac Dominic, and somebody's calling in and, of course, asking something about, do you know how for people to be saved? And I really don't want to get off into that theological discussion of salvation, but I will point out that Mac works with Cutting Edge Ministry. And if you haven't been to their website, I strongly recommend it. And you have actually a page there on how people should be saved, don't you, Mac? And how many people have pulled that page down on salvation here?
Oh, we have thousands. I think we're up to well over several hundred a day that pull that page down. It's an incredible number.
And so several hundred people every day across America are going to Cutting Edge Ministries, cuttingedge.org and pulling down their one page on how to become a Christian. And anybody who'd like to know more about it, let me suggest they go to their website. But I really don't want to get off the subject that you're trying to bring out. And would you like to talk just a little bit about the DVDs that you're offering, that you have, where you try to explain to people what's wrong with what's happening to the church today?
Right. We have a DVD that is entitled The Church Revolution, and it goes actually hand in hand with a book that I've written entitled Outcome-Based Religion, and those are being offered on the website. Now, we have good books by other authors, too, that I'm sure, I don't know if you've had Warren Smith
yes,
on.
Yes, we carry his book on Deceived on Purpose, and then, of course, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church.
And Sudcliffe. Yes,
right.
Both of those books are excellent books on the same subject. The difference primarily in the way that I've approached this issue in the original book, Outcome-Based Religion, is I've taken it on a historical approach to it and shown where it came from. Because if you don't know where something came from, you really don't know where it's going.
And, of course, where did it come from and where is it going?
Well, it basically started up in 1948 with the advent of the new evangelical movement that was started with the National Associations of Evangelicals. And basically what they wanted to do was form a third way or a big moderate block between fundamentalism and modernism, and what has happened, that big moderate block has opened themselves up to be ripe for deception, because as you said, Dr. Stan, earlier, the threat that comes to the church doesn't come as a big evil ogre, but it comes wrapped in this wonderful package of saying we've got this great, big, nice, beautiful church, and look at all the people we're getting. And what happens is, if when you stop teaching doctrine, when you start doing group dynamics and working a dialectical system, as Hegel propounded, you end up in a generation of two of not believing anything that the Bible teaches. And that's the real problem, because we're moving away from the teachings of Scripture, and we're moving toward a culturally relevant message in the church. And that's really the problem. But even worse, and this is what really, really alarms me, and it shows up and we have this in the DVD, not in our book, but in the DVD, because it's newer information. But when you start reading the book that I'm sure you're familiar with, The Aquarian Conspiracy by Marilyn Ferguson, which was noted as the New Age Bible written back in the 1980s, you find that the terminology and the way she writes the book and the things she talks about are exactly parallel the teachings of these people that would be moving forward in this purpose-driven or seeker-sensitive church movement.
And even some of the terminology that is used, and of course, if you don't know the New Age, you're not going to recognize it, but when you take out on earth as it is in heaven, and you say, so as above, so below, that is a New Age term. Why would you put that into a book that is being sold to tens of millions of American Christians? Little by little, you begin changing the terminology, and suddenly, we'll be talking and believing just like the New Agers, because after all, we're all looking for a different, a better spirituality, aren't we?
Exactly, and you know, that's the problem. You look in the writings of these people and what they believe. Bill Hybels, who is pastor of Willow Creek Community Church in Barrington, Illinois, he says that sin is simply a flawed strategy to gain fulfillment. Now, that's a self-esteem New Age gospel, not what the Bible teaches. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, says that Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, often knew what other people were thinking. Well, frankly, Jesus Christ is God. He was God incarnate, and he always knew what other people were thinking. You know, and you start going that direction, and you read the writings of
hold that thought right there.
Sure.
really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaur's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaur's book, Inroad to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur.
Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course I do want you to tell us a little bit more. Our guest today is Mac Dominic, and Mac has put together a DVD, and Mac, I do hope you'll send me a copy of your book. Maybe we could even do a program on that.
Absolutely.
But the DVD really has a great deal of great information. It's very well organized. As he takes you through step by step by step, an understanding of how we are very subtly changing the message of the church. And yet, you know, if we're going to reach people, we have to use the scriptures. It can't be entertainment. And of course, when you get into the small groups, and this is supposedly where the teaching's going to be, but then you've got 15 different translations of the Bible, and nobody's telling you what the Word of God was. It is, how do you feel about what this verse is? So you pick up the story there.
Well, that is an excellent assessment, Dr. Stan. You know, the fact of the matter is I have attended these New Paradigm churches. I've attended Saddleback Community Church in South Orange County there in the Los Angeles area. I've also attended some around the southeast here. And they use so many different translations of the Bible in the service. Well, number one, no one brings their Bible to church. And then all these translations are put up on the overhead projector, overhead screens, and by the time you get out, you really don't know what the Bible says. And that's a real problem. In the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, I believe Rick Warren uses six different translations, and you don't have a clue of what the Bible says. But the truth of the matter is what they do is they use all these different translations so they can get the exact wording that they want to prove their point. But when you get into looking very closely at what's going on, you look at the you look at, for instance, The Purpose-Driven Life, the book that has sold 23 million copies, the book that when Saddleback fed 35,000 homeless people, they gave out one to every homeless person. They didn't give out a copy of the Word of God. They gave out a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life. It teaches three primary points, and that's imminence, interconnectedness, and community. Of course, later on, Rick Warren had last year his new 40-day campaign, which is 40 days of community, but that was started, we saw that first in a chapter in The Purpose-Driven Life on community. And I started looking at those terms. And, you know, those terms went along with terms like paradigm shift. And paradigm shift was a term popularized by Alice Ferguson in The Aquarian Conspiracy. And it spoke of a change of thinking. They use terms like change agent, and those of us that have dealt with outcome-based education and those issues, we know all about change agent facilitator. Carl George, in his book, The Coming Church Revolution, said the pastor no longer is a shepherd of the flock, but a facilitator of relationships within the small groups. And we see terminology like this, terminology like interdependence. And I got really nervous because I had studied the New Age movement. I had studied paganism and occult. I had studied groupthink type philosophies of the Lucius Trust and these occult organizations. And then I read about imminence, interconnection, and community, and something clicked in my head. And we and I keep a very extensive database here of all of our research. And I went back into my computer. And I found a book that I'd read in 1997, and it said the three core principles of the Mother Goddess religion are, guess what? Imminence, interconnection, and community. And The Purpose-Driven Life, that very popular book, teaches interconnection on page 300, imminence on page 88, and community on page 139. And that absolutely blew me away. It absolutely blew me away because I have wanted, and I've really tried very hard to give these folks the benefit of the doubt, but something is wrong.
Well, I think that we only need to see who is actually publishing it. Why that great Christian publishing house, Zondervan? But who owned Zondervan? Well, it was bought up by Rupert Murdoch, who has some of the most vile magazines and newspapers and scandalous things and certainly his media and Fox News, although they pretend to be conservative, they're not giving you the truth at all. Rupert Murdoch, when he went to college, and we have this, you can get this off the internet, was known as Rupert the Red because he always had a bust of Lenin, one of the greatest murderers of all time, on his desk. And my understanding is that he still has that bust of Lenin. Rupert the Red Murdoch owns Zondervan that pushed this book. Why would they push something that was going to draw people to our Lord Jesus Christ? Or is this designed to take them away from Jesus Christ and to introduce New Age occult teachings into the church? Very subtly, though.
Well,
so many, many good people support this. They really do.
Oh, they do. They do. And it's... And because it is very deceptive, you read the book, and a very cursory reading of it, you think, well, that wasn't so bad. But then you go back and you start looking at who was quoted in the book. People like Aldous Huxley, who was basically what we would call a theosophist or New Ager. People that were theosophists, mystical Roman Catholics. And you get these people that there was one, Anais Nin, that was quoted, that was a bohemian pornographer from the early 20th century. Why would Dr. Warren quote these people to prove points he could have proven by quoting people like Spurgeon, Tozier, or, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., or any of these people that he could have quoted? But no, he quoted these Luciferic people. And you have to ask the question, what is he doing? Is he trying to send a message to someone clandestinely that this book is really not what it's cracked up to be? Or is it, or what is it? Why would he do that? As a Christian and as someone that I'm looking at, he's developing a daily, a 40-day devotional guide, why would he quote these people? then why would he hire people to help with his new peace plan like this gentleman, Ken Blanchard? I don't know if you're familiar with Mr. Blanchard, but he has a Christian ministry that trains leaders. It's all about lead like Jesus did. But then he is he endorses books like The Corporate Mystic and Deepak Chopra's book, Seven Laws of Spiritual Success, are endorsed by Ken Blanchard on the back cover. And the Seven Laws of Spiritual Success include the Law of Karma and the Law of Dharma and all these New Age pantheistic type of philosophies. I don't understand. I don't understand how a man that is truly a man of God could do these things and bring in these types of people.
I think it was so interesting that I watched the motion picture docudrama on television last night about Amber Fry. Now, you know that people who put out most of these things hate Christianity. And yet there's a section in there, it's towards the end, where Amber Fry sends a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life to Scott Peterson.
Really?
And of course, he writes back, and what a wonderful and inspiring book it was. And then, of course, you remember, of course, the woman who was captured by this fellow who had killed a judge.
Right.
And of course, she has him, she reads The Purpose-Driven Life to him, and he surrenders. Why would the media that hates Christianity be giving that coverage? I mean, there are millions of stories, you know, of Christian dedication and Christian heroism and Christian all sorts of great things about Christianity, but you will never see them on the major media. Why would Time magazine, that hates Christianity and undermines it in every respect, make Pastor Rick Warren the Time is religious leader of the year? You just have to ask, is the occult movement, and as you and I both know, the occult hierarchy dominates the American media. There are five major corporations that dominate the media, and they all hate Christianity. And when you see them pushing certain Christians into positions of prominence, you have to ask yourself, why are they doing that? These people are very, very smart. They know exactly what they're doing. It's just that the average Christian isn't smart enough to begin to question when his mind is being manipulated.
Well, the average Christian has no discernment. The problem is the average Christian is not familiar enough with the Word of God to know when they're being fed false doctrine. They don't spend time in the Word of God. They don't spend time in prayer, and they have absolutely no discernment because they have become totally secular for the most part. And I mean, that is a sad commentary. But that's really the way that if you want to look at the average person that calls himself a Christian, 9% of whom, only 9% of which have a biblical worldview, that's most of the problem there, because they are ripe for deception. If you don't know what you believe and why you believe it and are grounded in the faith, you will fall for anything that comes along that sounds good. And that's the real issue. We've got millions of people following these Pied Pipers, and their fate is going to be the same as the children of Hamlin that followed the Pied Piper into the mountain and never were seen again. We're looking at something that is potentially capable of totally destroying Christianity as we know it today.
Well, I really fear what's really happening to the church, as of course this movement is sweeping the country. But little bit by little bit, they're introducing all these occult terms into our vocabulary.
That's exactly right. And all of this, all the occult terminology, all the occult type methodology, this small group methodology, this group think type of philosophy is not anything new at all. As a matter of fact, the groupthink philosophy has been touted like by organizations like Lucius Trust for a long, long time, and in their very literature we see it all over the place. And now Rick Warren has come out with his 40 Days of Community, and he says we are better together. This is my declaration of interdependence, and it's all about relationships. Well, let me read you a quote from the Lucius Trust. This is from a book called A Learning Experience by Alice Bailey's daughter.
Now, for our listeners, though, the Lucius Trust is a Luciferian organization. It used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. They changed the name. Alice Bailey was a Luciferian. So go ahead and pick up the story.
Yes, Alice Bailey was the head of, well, she and her husband, Foster Bailey, started Lucius Trust. Well, they started Lucifer Publishing Company in 1922, and it became Lucius Trust, which is a registered NGO of the United Nations. So listen to this quote. New Age group work is, in reality, the outer manifestation of an inner and genuine spiritual condition. Buddha established his work in India through small group communities set up to be self-supporting and interdependent. Buddha saw this method as preparing for an eventual world community. We have become interdependent in so many areas of human life, but not yet properly interrelated, yet there is a common denominator, relationship. And if you took that quote and put it into what I heard, I've got all of the messages that Dr. Warren preached in his 40 Days of Community. This sums it up right here. And this even talks about Buddha and his work through small groups. In Saddleback, they have, I can't remember what he said, I think 8,000 small groups within that one church. His global peace plan, they want to work through local churches with small groups and do it that way, and he calls it his declaration of interdependence. I need a group. But
is there anything wrong with a small group if it was really preaching the Word of God?
No.
And of course, somebody had just called in and said, look, they read Greek and Hebrew, and certainly the message never stated it was the Word of God, and that's absolutely true. The Bible that Rick Warren refers to so frequently, it doesn't claim to be the Word of God, and yet he's putting it out as the Word of God.
Yeah, it's a paraphrase.
Right.
It's a paraphrase. But
why would he be using that, though, rather than an absolute translation of the Word of God?
Because that translation uses the very words that he wants to use.
But those words, a lot of those, really come out of the New Age, don't they?
They sure do. They sure do. And we don't know. And we don't really know where they were translated from, if at all. So it's really a problem now. Rick Warren uses the New Century version of the Bible when he talks about imminence. This is just one example. And he said, because God is with you all the time, no place is closer to God than the place where you are right now. And he said, the Bible says he rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything.
But that's pantheism.
That's pantheism, as Warren Smith so aptly points out. But that is pantheism. And its immanence, which is one of the key doctrines of goddess religion.
And why would they be introducing that? Because the average Christian doesn't understand the goddess religion. They don't understand pantheism. They don't understand the fact that there are millions of people who have been swept into the New Age with all this verbiage.
Well, I'll tell you why. And really, this is really what it boils down to, is we are on a course to see a one-world religion come on the scene. The Bible teaches it. We know it's coming. Dave Hunt so aptly points out that since 1948, the true church has been on the decrease and false religion has been on the increase, because that's the way it's going to have to be. Jesus himself said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? And the answer to the question is, it doesn't look like it. Because the true church is eroding so quickly, and the doctrinal position of so many people is eroding so quickly, and you get into a seeker-sensitive, new paradigm-type church that does not teach and preach doctrine. They want to meet everyone's felt needs. They want to get them in the door, and they give them the gospel that says, pray this prayer, Jesus, I believe you and I receive you. Welcome to the family of God. And so you've got a whole group of people that think they're saved, but yet in truth may really be very, very lost. And these people will embrace a one-world religion and a one-world church of the Antichrist. And that's what's coming down.
And I'm sure that Rupert Murdoch will be very, very happy when that happens.
Rupert
Murdoch, who owns Zondervan, they bought up the Christian publishers, and the average Christian doesn't even understand what they've done.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we, you know, and the greater evangelical community has been bought, paid for, and right now they're being gift wrapped.
Hey, look, let's get your telephone number, your website out right now so people can get your material. I get
okay.
so involved, I forgot to get that. Please go ahead.
Okay. The website is www.cuttingedge.org. And the best way to get in touch with me is by email, actually. And that my email address is MACD, M-A-C-D, at cuttingedge, all one word, .org. And that's the best way to catch me.
God bless. Thanks very much.
Thank you, brother.
Really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Guy Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Guy Carr's book, Inner to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Comfortable residential care facility for yourself or a loved one, consider Cozy Home in Moss Landing. The 6-bed facility provides nutritious home-cooked meals, special diets, private rooms, recreational activities, on-site podiatry, occupational and physical therapy, 24-hour supervision, as well as housekeeping, personal laundry service, transportation for doctor's appointments, and much, much more. The facility is located at 97 Springfield Road in Moss Landing. Please call Crystal at 831-840-1361, that's 831-840-1361, or Elsie at 831-840-2410, that's 831-840-2410, and ask for a brochure or a tour of the facility. Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free. 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I know we have Mike hanging on the line, but we're just about out of time. This is the time when I want to mention that we do carry that wonderful book by Warren Smith entitled Deceived on Purpose. And we carry another book. It's called Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? You need to understand what is really happening. As they very, very subtly change the music and the message of the church. And, oh, let's get more translations in here. Let's get into small groups. There's absolutely nothing wrong with small groups if they are properly led and if they're preaching the Word of God rather than sort of, well, discussing what the meaning from all the different translations. And nobody tells you what the Word of God really says. You sort of, well, you make it up as you go along. especially if you've got the message, that is. Well, anyway, we also carry a DVD. Diaprax. That's the video of the Diaprax, and the video seems to work better than the DVD, and we have a four-tape set on the church growth movement. So you can really understand and begin to see what's happening. We have a four-tape set on musical madness, which is the music that's come into our churches. You see, the music, it is not the words of the music, it's the beat of the music. They've known that for years. This is why they have the drums when people are marching off to war, the drums before the natives go into battle. They understand the impact of the beat. And if you don't understand what this is all about, you need to get the video. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, where you'll hear Ozzy Osbourne singing about Mr. Crowley, who was a Satanist. You'll hear Marilyn Manson singing about Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. And if you don't know who Aleister Crowley was, he was known as the other Loch Ness monster. He had a home on Loch Ness, and of course he was deeply involved in Satanism and influenced people like Timothy Leary and Alfred Kinsey and Harry Hay, who founded the Grey Liberation Movement. You want to get the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version. And of course, we've actually lowered the price on those. We have Megiddo 1, which is 2.25 hours, takes you through modern day prophecies. We have Megiddo 2, which of course is 3 hours and gives you the story of the Bible from Genesis and the book of, and the Garden of Eden right up to the present time. And ladies and gentlemen, we're moving into World War III. We're moving into a financial crisis, and everything you think you've put away that's going to give you some security in the future, whether it be a pension, whether it be Social Security, whether it be annuity, whether it would be a bonds, or whether it would be bank deposits, or whether it be CDs, or, well, you only have to go back and remember what Daniel Webster said. Of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money. Of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes him with paper money. You really should get a new DVD that goes into what's happening financially. It's called The Coming Crisis, or The Coming Financial Crisis. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and look at the various items we have. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products, and we, of course, carry other products that do help us to stay on the air. But go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can pull down our articles. You can, all of my articles. You can pull down our archive programs. You can listen to our programs on the Internet 5 hours a day. You won't get much accomplished, but you'll learn an awful lot. And believe me, at times like this, knowledge and will draw you closer to the Lord, understanding we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. So pray for America, pray for revival, but please, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.